Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Disbelief and shock over the weekend with the Luka trade to the Lakers. In the meantime, I was pretty surprised at the Tigers sign Jack Flaherty. We'll start with this. There have been some reporting that the Tigers have moved away from adding starting pitching, which means one of two things. Either one, that reporting was wrong, or two, things changed, and things can change. It happens all the time that people change their minds, and what could have changed here? Well, what could have changed here is that Flaherty on the open market was probably looking for something a little bit different than what was actually made available to him. And so at some point, either Detroit circled back or he circled back. And the Tigers get a contract done. And we'll get into the details of the contract, but it's a two-year deal with an opt-out possible for him after 1 year. But something that very rarely happens has happened. A team traded a player, got back some assets, a player on an expiring contract. They traded a player, got some assets, and then re-signed the player the immediate following offseason, which I'm super excited that this happened. But let's go back, Gator, to start this conversation and revisit the initial trade of Jack Flaherty. They pulled it off, man. They got back a package of players that immediately helped them win a playoff spot and win a series in the playoffs. They got back a player that has catapulted into the top 100 and could be helping this organization for years to come. There's still no guarantees, but he could be. And they got the player that they traded back.
It's to look back at that. The craziest thing of all was that they made the playoffs last year. That was crazy.
Yep.
After they had traded Jack Flaherty, they made the playoffs. They cobbled it together. Guys stepped up. They got some more stability defensively. And part of that was part of the trade. Trey Sweeney, who was, a reasonably regarded prospect, but not a top 100 guy by any means. And then they got Tyron Lorenzo, who was the highly regarded prospect, but not as highly regarded as other players in the Dodgers organization, which led people to say that the Tigers didn't get much in return.
Yep.
They didn't get their asking price. Well, no kidding. They didn't get their asking price because who gets their asking price when it comes to a trade deadline deal? So they ended up getting a couple of pretty good players to put in the system and one guy who joined the team. But they made the playoffs, which made everything crazy. And now you come full circle and you get Flaherty back for, what is it, $34 million for 2 years where there's an opt-out after the first year? Okay, sign me up for a 29-year-old? I can't believe no team out there wanted to give Jack Flaherty like a 3 or 4 year contract for $20 million a year.
Well, look, I'm very pleased with the way this worked out, and everybody should be. He's a guy who really had a career resurgence coming off injury. Hey, don't give up on me yet here in Detroit. This could be, again, the Fetter effect, and my God, I don't want to ever lose Chris Fetter. I think that you're looking now at, the contract terms is something else to get to, but I would say this, and I think this is important. I think it's a check plus on the resume of Scott Harris. And I don't expect everybody to buy in, and I'm kind of wait and see with a lot of things, of course, but But at the end of the day, this should instill a little bit more confidence in the Tigers GM to pull off this entire scenario.
I sure hope so. I mean, Harris is a, you talk about, you know, different paths and different ways of doing things. He has a clear vision of what he wants, and it's not going to, you know, be something that is fully embraced by the fan base just yet, right? And it hasn't been. The way he's drafted, the way he's gone after free agency, people haven't fully embraced it. But this move, I feel like, because of what they did in getting Jack Flaherty, waiting things out, now we're into February, and then they make the move where, okay, Flaherty's still around. He's familiar. He liked his time here in Detroit. He's got his ring. Let's go. Fair enough. And we got him for a very reasonable price, where I think it's like $4 or $5 million below market value per season. And yet they waited it out. They were smart to wait it out. And now they could still, because they're now their payroll is at whatever, $140 million or something like that, they can still add to it by getting Bregman. And if they do, I mean, they already had a good pitching staff. But now you're adding Flaherty back into the mix. Their starting rotation looks to be on paper so good right now that you're pushing out three potential starters. Then who knows what's going to happen with Casey Mize, Kenta Maeda, and Keita Martero, let alone Matt Manning.
Or Ty Madden.
I mean, yeah. You've got all these options. That's five starting pitchers right there.
It just sets up some real discussion about what their next move is, because they've got some extra pitching now that they can shop around. And I'm not foolish to think that they're going to move Matt Manning and get some elite guy back, but it could be a part of a package of things that they decide to move on from.
But signing Jack Flaherty gives them some flexibility now, where it's not just, okay, we can spend money on a free agent and let's get the guy. Or do you dangle some prospects and actual major league talent to another team to get their guy that they don't want to sign, who would be an upgrade over what we have here? This is all very interesting.
So the staff right now is Skubal, Flaherty, Reese Olson, Alex Cobb, and then the fifth starter,
Jackson Jobe.
I assume it's going to be Jackson Jobe. They still have Casey Mize and all the names we already mentioned in case Jobe doesn't go down to spring training and grab this thing. And I kind of expect them to do so. And I give Major League Baseball some credit the way they've changed to encourage people not to delay contracts, delay the start time on a player's Major League service time. They don't suppress those things. They can reward you if your guy makes a run for Rookie of the Year with getting some draft capital back. And that's actually pretty cool, because it'll encourage a team like the Tigers to not hesitate to have Jackson Jobe in their opening day rotation should he earn it. But if Flaherty comes in, and this is predicated on Flaherty pitching well, although, we don't have reason to believe he won't. He pitched well in Detroit, and then he went to L.A. and pitched well. It's amazing what health, or in his case, a couple shots to the back, will do for a guy. But let's just cross our fingers and start with either the hope or belief that indeed he now will come to Detroit and continue to pitch well. I mean, so much of this success and failure is predicated on a guy going out and doing what he's capable of. And so all conversations start there with the assumption that Flaherty's going to come to Detroit and be good, which may not be a safe assumption, but I don't think it's a stretch. This is no stretch that he can come to Detroit and pitch well.
No. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be as good as he was last year. It was awfully good. But if he has an earned run average below 350, I'm pretty happy with that. It's more stability. A guy can go 6-7 innings.
And to get through now a season, like, I love what they did in the postseason last year, but it probably wasn't a plan that you could implement for an entire season. The whole pitching by committee type of deal.
Yeah, pitching chaos.
Yeah. You could still then, though, in important series, implement the pitching chaos. You can still do it. You just have a more conventional way to bide your time, get through the season, and have a chance to win most nights out, given who they are going to be parading out as starting pitching. So we will get into what's next. Now, wow, what a day. We've got a player that would make so much sense in Detroit requesting a trade. Could that happen? Mm. We will get to that today. We'll tell you who it is and get to that at 116 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. This is a woe in the NFL world.
Well, it's a it's a woe and like, oh, wow. This, okay. But it's not a move that's happened.
However you want to characterize it, it gets our attention.
It's we both went, oh, well. And maybe that's what it is for me. It's an oh, well. Oh, well.
Miles Garrett's requested a trade. Yeah, it's a woe. It's a woe because there's two things about this. One is you start venturing into the possibility of acquiring Myles Garrett. Two is, what other wheels does that set in motion? And what I mean by that is, if there's another player at the same position on another team that isn't necessarily happy with his situation, does he say, wait a sec, if Myles Garrett can get traded and some team's willing to do what it takes to get Myles Garrett to try and put him over the top, maybe I should request a trade so I don't miss out on that opportunity as well.
Oh, look at you. Wanting more people in the pool.
Well, you know how it is. Like, if you see anything in life where you see somebody you know or somebody in your line of work that does a little something that betters themselves, and you go, I could do the same thing. You have to start thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I'm talking about Max Crosby. Does Max Crosby go, I'll be pissed if Myles Garrett gets traded to Detroit? I mean, he hasn't had an open love letter to Detroit, but does that start some wheels in motion there? But that's sort of a possibility out of this. What we do know is that Myles Garrett wants to be traded. His contract, the team that trades for him, will get a $19.8 million cap hit this coming season. Lions could afford it. And a $20.374 million the following year, which would become somewhat problematic. It might cost him a player, given that their financial commitments. They go from having like the 8th most cap space to the 28th most cap space, and they got a lot of money earmarked to want to bring their guys back. But this also would fall into the category of something, Gator, that you've been talking about for a while and you clearly are in favor of, and that is F them picks.
Yeah, it's time. When the right player comes along, it's time. And you know, I know they haven't operated that way to this point because they haven't needed to. Because the way they needed to operate was, let's replenish this team. Let's build it from the ground up. Let's draft and sign for agents that make sense and not to long-term contracts. And then when time comes to reward the players that we've drafted, we can do that and extend them. That's exactly what they've done. Well, now that it's built, foundation's there. Mm-hmm. They got this thing built. They just lost 7 assistant coaches from last year. So if you're concerned about that and how is this going to be replaced, how about you just go out and get the best pass rusher in football? How about you do that and pair him up with Aiden Hutchinson? And let's roll. Because that's insane to think those two guys on the same defense, how much better it would be if you had both of them.
Yep.
Look out. I mean, I would think that they'd be front runners for the Super Bowl if they were to make a move like this. And if it's an F them picks move, it's at least 2 first round picks, probably a 3.
Or maybe just Anthony Davis and Max Christie gets it done.
Yeah.
So I know how Gator feels. I'm curious how you feel, Doug. If you're Brad Holmes, do you want him to call the Browns, knowing this is going to take a lot to get him? It's funny because you weren't here last week, Gator, for football questions. And one of the questions was, the Browns GM came out and said, I'm not entertaining any offers for Myles Garrett. There's nothing that would come across my table where I'd want to make a deal. And less than a week later, Myles Garrett's like, please trade me. So I don't know how this complicates the trade market for the Browns, but Doug, do you call if you're Brad Holmes, knowing this is going to take something that he loves to have, which is draft capital?
I try to rush to the phone without making it sound like I'm rushing to the phone. Like, I want to call and not sound desperate and too eager, because yes.
You up?
Yo, babe, what's good?
Without question, I call. Yes, I call. And I explore. There's no doubt I'd have interest. And I'm excited by the possibility that this guy could be had.
Oh, my. So Diana Rossini has tweeted out. She said, one NFL GM on what a trade for Myles Garrett could look like. Quote, probably a 1+. Can't wait for it'll be a 3-1s crowd. Not happening. 1 and a 2. 1 and 2 3s. Throw a player in there. I'm sorry. What's that? For Myles Garrett?
Who, Diana Rossini's quoting who?
She's quoting an NFL GM on what a trade for Myles Garrett could look like.
There's not a player that you can get in this draft with your first round pick that comes close to what Myles Garrett would give you. I like Mike Green for Marshall a lot.
I like Abdul Carter a lot.
But they don't have accessibility to Abdul Carter.
No. Is it crazy to think that in order to get Abdul Carter that you'd have to give more draft capital up than to get Myles Garrett? Because that's what this tweet is indicating.
Dude, that's...
That's crazy when you say it out loud. Because yeah. Myles Garrett! he's 29.
That guy.
14 sacks. Adam Schefter just put out a tweet, guys. Potential trade comps, since we're talking about comps here.
Yeah, yeah.
When 27-year-old Khalil Mack was traded from Oakland to Chicago, the Bears gave up 2 first-round picks, a 3rd-round pick, and a 6th-round pick. They got Mack in a 2nd round in return with a conditional 5th.
I mean, I that would be something I would discuss.
Them picks.
I know you are Mr. F them picks.
Why wouldn't you be? It's Myles Garrett.
Because it depends on how many picks. It still does matter. I understand that this
2 first-round picks. Would you do it?
I probably would, because one of them would be this year's first-round pick. And, yeah, I'd do that.
Because you'd be looking at picks that are
but here's the thing.
Starting at 28 okay, and likely 32 after that.
Understand this. And I always think of it this way. If I'm in Cleveland, I want more than 2 first-round picks.
Of course.
If I'm doing this show in Cleveland. So, I'm asking for 3 first-round picks and a player. And that would have me balking on this side. But... You know, if we're gonna do this and talk realistically, if you can get them for 2 first-round picks, yeah, I'd do it for 2 first-round picks. The thing is then, but I do want to see the cap ramifications on year two when the Lions have to say, yeah, we got to let Kirby Joseph walk. We now can't pick up J-Mo's contract. He'll get to free agency. Whatever those ramifications are. But you're trying to win a Super Bowl.
They haven't done that yet. This is...
And here's
probably
the
best way to do it, other than getting Patrick Mahomes, is to, and no disrespect to Jared Goff, but the best way to do this is to get Myles Garrett or Micah Parsons or Max Crosby, players of that ilk, to get that top pass rusher to go opposite a healthy Aiden Hutchinson would do it.
One of the challenges we have here in Detroit, one of the things that's awesome about our guy is our guy can crush the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Our guy also absolutely values his draft picks more than we do. He just does. I don't want to say downsides, because I don't think it's a downside. One of the things that's going to make this challenging is that Brad Holmes loves his draft picks and doesn't want to part with his draft picks.
Well, he loves his draft picks because he's needed them to build this foundation to where they're at. Now that you're at where you're at, now you can say, I still love the draft picks, but I really love that player.
Yeah, the way he talked in the press conference he held last week, the vibe that he gave off was, I'm not rushing to get rid of my draft picks. I love my draft picks. Now, could be just idle talk, but I think his actions would tell you that it's true.
Hey, Brad, what if Myles Garrett were available? That's a different story.
Well, we may find out.
He also did mention the presser, Doug, that it's hard to get players because teams were unwilling to trade them, right? Well, now we know a guy has literally requested a trade, so maybe things change. And if you have to throw a player in return, do you say, are you familiar with Za'Darius Smith? Oh, yeah, we are. We just had him.
Yeah, he's not under contract, though, right?
He's he one more year.
Yeah.
Does he?
Yeah.
I thought he was a free agent. My man. 248-539-9797. All right, a lot of people want to talk Flaherty. Comes to Detroit. Myles Garrett's now available. We got a wild trade in the NBA. We got one of the hottest hockey teams in the league. We got a Piston game tonight and a trade deadline in the NBA. Things are afoot in the world of sports here in Detroit. It is Carson Anderson on 97.1. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Wow. Tigers get Jack Flaherty. Bregman watch has reached day 36. You got Myles Garrett now asking for a trade out of Cleveland. We'll get to your phone calls on this in a moment. One of the things that may impact the feasibility of him coming to Detroit is whether or not Myles Garrett will demand a new long-term contract by the team that trades for him. That could present some challenges, and it could present some roadblocks. It would might take some real creativity, but real creativity is something that NFL teams have been known to do. But yes, that could make this more challenging. I don't know if it would make it impossible, but it could make it more challenging. 248-539-9797. Willie's in Detroit, and he's on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Willie.
Hello, fellas. How are you guys doing today?
All right, Willie, you?
Overwhelmed, yeah. Quite frankly. There's so much going on.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot going on. So here's my take on Myles Garrett. So Jared Goff worries me, okay? I think about that they was 30 minutes away from getting to Super Bowl against 49ers. That didn't happen. But we all said, well, hey, that's kind of like a pass for that year, you know, because the Lions are still rebuilding. We still need one or two pieces to get to where we need to be. And I understand this year, majority of the defense was hurt. The Lions were stable to accomplish what they've accomplished. But here's where Jared Goff worries me. The way he played against Washington is very alarming. At this point, and this is just me, I don't trust him anymore. I would rather treat him like Trent Dilfer now.
Why?
And I'm saying that, and Jim McMahon, too. I'm bringing those two quarterbacks up because what are those
Willie,
two quarterbacks
Willie,
having
Willie, can I stop you for 1 second here? Uh-huh. I don't want to get sidetracked. Myles Garrett just requested a trade. Are you interested in him?
Well, yeah, that's I'm making my points to say. So here's the point I'm trying to get to. I'm bringing up Jared Goff because I don't trust him anymore. I want to treat him like a game manager now, you've like already, a Trent Dilfer, Jim McMahon. Right.
You're interested in Myles Garrett?
Super Bowl winning defense.
Because I'm going to stop you, Willie. Because all this is going to lead is to 50 calls defending Jared Goff, and I don't want to take it down that road.
No, it's not today's topic.
You want to improve the defense?
No, real quick. But let me get my point across. Let me get my point across. What I want to say for Brad Holmes, you got to make the move. You got to pull the deal to bring in Myles Garrett because now what you got to do is get the Lions' defense to where the offense is. Nothing's wrong with the offense anymore outside of Jared Goff. The point I'm trying to make, fellas, is he has to pull the trigger. Do not worry about these draft picks that Cleveland's going to want because you need to get this Lions defense to the point to where it's not going to beat 85 Bears, but it has to mirror them. It has to mirror that Ray Lewis defense, that Lawrence Taylor, Harry Carson defense. The Lions defense is going to have to be the reason why they win the Super Bowl.
All right.
They scored 31 points in the playoff loss.
They did, and on a bad day. If he's saying to win a Super Bowl, your defense has to match this offense, they have a great chance to win the Super Bowl if their defense and their offense are in the conversation, both being the best in the league. I would agree with that. And if you can have the best defense and offense in the NFL, I like their chances.
Well,
I would agree with that.
I think we can all agree on this. If the possibility is there to sign to trade for Myles Garrett, and the possibility is there because apparently he wants to trade. But if Brad Holmes looks at this and says, yeah, we can make this happen, everybody's on board. Is there anybody that's going to be detracting and say, no, don't try that. Don't try for Myles Garrett.
The price tag of Myles Garrett, the downside is what it might cost you in terms of return, what it might cost you in terms of signing your own guys. the plan to keep some of your own guys. Otherwise, it's an easy yes. And if you can get them at your price and it doesn't cost you players long term, this is an easy yes.
It might be uncomfortable down the line if you'd brought up just a name, just for the sake of throwing a name out there, Kirby Joseph. Mm-hmm. Would I rather have Myles Garrett or Kirby Joseph?
Well, would you rather have Myles Garrett and Kirby Joseph for 1 year, or Kirby Joseph long term and add other players that aren't Myles Garrett and keep them all?
Or would I rather have Myles Garrett and Kirby Joseph for a year and then Myles Garrett for several years without Kirby Joseph?
Well, it depends what else it would cost you potentially. I mean,
give me Myles Garrett.
You keep crafting like this is really freaking easy, and it's not.
I'm not. What do you mean?
These things are so complicated, and if it's a low price and it doesn't cost you a lot in terms of your own guys, it's a resounding yes.
You're saying low price in terms of the draft capital?
Yes.
Okay. Let's
in terms of
I'm operating on that. I would think it's 2 first-round picks. Okay.
If I'm in Cleveland, I'm asking for more.
Fair enough. But I'm going to say, let's say it's 2, because everybody else now, all these pundits are out there saying it wouldn't be that much. But if it's 2 first-round picks, I'm good with it. If you give up 2 first-round picks and now I got to sign him to a 4-year, $140 million deal. Okay, that sounds like an awful lot of money to sink in there, but if let's say I can go ahead and re-sign him, I'm going to re-sign him knowing that you are going to have to make some uncomfortable decisions. But Myles Garrett makes you a better football team. And knowing also that these contracts that they've given out to St. Brown, to Sewell, to Jared Goff, to Decker, to all these guys they've given these contracts out to, they can be renegotiated to make it easier to deal with, to pay the Piper down the road, which at some point, of course, you're going to have to pay, and it's going to be a tough road when they have to pay that Piper. But in the meantime, you've given yourself like this 4-year window or 5-year window to be dominant.
I do want to say one thing real quick to help you out a little bit, Gator, too. I don't really generally subscribe to the hometown discount theory. But I do think that if you're going to be out there and request a trade and state the Super Bowl as your ultimate goal, you don't have to sign that max next deal if you really want to win a championship. Now, he's going to get paid, but he didn't have to max it out. Especially if you're going to put it out there and say, hey, I loved it in Cleveland. It's been great. You shaped me, but I want to win a Super Bowl. Well, if you really want to win a Super Bowl, you have to sacrifice something somewhere.
And if he's willing to come to Detroit without a new contract,
yeah,
this becomes the make it happen yesterday, Brad Holmes. Tony is next. Hi, Tony.
Hey, good buddy. How you doing, Pat? Hey, about the Myles Garrett, yeah. I just hope we can pay him with cash and don't have to give up nothing.
What do you mean?
What do you think?
Well, you got to, if you're going to trade for him.
You have to give him no draft picks.
You got to trade for him. He's not
Cleveland's not accepting nothing.
He's not a free agent. He's saying he wants a trade.
Oh, okay. I understand what you're saying now. Yeah. But anyway, can I go back to this here, that 3rd-and-1 with Jared Goff?
No.
There's no point. Let's go to Don and Howe. Hi, Don.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
So, if I know Myles Garrett, if we could trade for him, I'm going to give 2 firsts for him, because with the way Brad Holmes drafts, I'm not worried about finding talent at later rounds. And right now, our window is here, right? So I let Za'Darius Smith walk. I don't pick up the next option on his. Whoever else I can let go to have someone available, even if we promise to spend the money on him, you're right. We can rework, like Gator said, we can rework some contracts if it means that we're going to be the favorites for the Super Bowl. Even if our offense falls down slightly because of the offensive coordinator, maybe to the, let's just say, top 10, maybe lower top 10, somewhere in that area, and our defense jumps up to the top third because of this signing, we are the favorite for the Super Bowl next year.
They might not do anything and be the favorites for the Super Bowl next year.
Yeah, but they'd really be the favorites.
They would be getting Myles Garrett would make them an overwhelming favorite, is my guess, to win the Super Bowl next year. And you have to explore this. Like, the greatest reality that we live in now is that the Detroit Lions become a coveted, a roster spot on Lions is a coveted spot. a player of Myers Garrett's ilk would want to come to Detroit. He may not get the contract, and Kang, you make a great point. If he just wants to win a Super Bowl, you don't always get what you want. Will he be willing to come to Detroit and say, yeah, I'll play out this contract and get the free agency?
I'm operating in a world where Luka just got traded for what I think was not the max value. I feel like anything's possible at this moment.
Yep. Yep.
You got a call, right? And then, but here's the awkward situation is, Cleveland's put in a bad situation here. I mean, he's got this contract issue. He's got a lot of dead cap money. But and they've already said they don't want to trade him, probably for a lot of reasons, I think cap included. And now he's come out and said he wants to get traded.
They're in a horrible. It's terrible.
How does this work?
I mean, Cleveland's in a rock and a hard place here, right? I mean, they can get some great trade offers for him, but the bottom line is they're going to have to eat $36 million.
Exactly.
How and that's do you not do that? Easy to do. No. And but if you're a team that is rebuilding, now's the time to eat that money. If you're going to rebuild, I got to eat it now, knowing that and the fan base is going to know, okay, it's going to take a couple years.
Yeah, how much money did the Broncos just eat with the whole Russell Wilson fiasco? And they made the playoffs, so it can be done. You can eat the contract and still build the future and, in fact, make the playoffs, like I just mentioned with the Broncos. So I think they're in a tough spot, but it's not unthinkable to do.
248-539-9797. Myles Garrett has requested a trade. The Detroit Lions would have to be interested. 248-539-9797. How far would you go? Jack Flaherty is a Tiger. Yep, he comes back on a very friendly contract. I think Flaherty gets, you know, a chance to prove himself and has an opt-out after year one. The Tigers, meanwhile, have a number two starter behind Scooble and have just become a stronger team in the battle for the American League Central. Alex Bregman, are you seeing this? Wouldn't you think this would make Detroit a more popular destination for Bregman? 248-539-9797. Champ and Chump, the Red Wings don't lose. The Pistons with a win yesterday. They are in the thick of a playoff chase. The Red Wings are in a wild card spot right now. Lots going on. You are next. Your thoughts, Carson Anderson, 97.1. All right, so in my mind, I'm trying to put together if we're doing this talk show in Cleveland, because you try and we do this thing where you try and set up guardrails and not go crashing through and
sell the team.
Talk about fantasy stuff. We're you know these deals. Like when you hear Myers Garrett's available, you go, okay, what is he reasonably available for? Well, if I'm doing this show in Cleveland, what if the package that you want back is two firsts, a third, and Hendon Hooker? You do it?
Yeah.
Two firsts, a third, Hendon Hooker, and Malcolm
what
Rodriguez.
You're trying to do.
Malcolm Rodriguez.
It'd be probably more like Jack Campbell, to be honest with you, Doug.
You might be right. Like, what if they ask for Jack Campbell?
No, seriously. Yeah.
If you're Cleveland, you're not looking to get rid of him cheap.
No.
So yeah, what if it is?
I'd want a starter in return.
What's that?
I'd want a starter in return along with picks.
Of course.
Yep. So. Yeah, it's gonna be a big ask.
And you might be giving up one of those players that you'd have to think about giving an extension the next year or two, which Jack Campbell would fit in there.
Jack Campbell would.
Jameson Williams.
What if they ask for Gibbs? Is that a non-starter?
I don't think it's a non-starter, but, I mean, running backs, you can get them everywhere in the draft. Jahmyr Gibbs is special. I like Jahmyr Gibbs a lot. And I don't need to get rid of Jahmyr Gibbs yet because he's in his second year.
No, of course
not. And because he's a first-round pick, I get him for three more years. After 3 years, I may not want to bring him back.
Can you get Putney?
We get a pancake breakfast?
Yeah. I'm not totally stoked to get rid of valuable players, but if you're in Cleveland, you're trying to get some value back. Are they painted into a corner? Are they more desperate now? Did they just hurt their own? Did the market just get hurt where they won't get a market offer for him? Will Cleveland F it up? That's the other thing that you got to consider is, does Cleveland have a history of making great moves?
No, sir.
Is Cleveland put together trades that everybody is in awe of? Wow, Cleveland really pulled a fast one there. No, like, so could something be done that we go, wow, they got him for just that? Yeah, it is Cleveland after all.
So according to Albert Breer, he's already on record as talking to sources inside Cleveland saying their stance remains the same. They do not want to trade Myles Garrett. They will not listen to offers. But what are you going to do, go into the season with your star player not wanting to be there?
No, but this is what they should say publicly and let everybody know. We don't want to trade. We're not going to trade him. We're not going to do it because it increases the value of the trade. They have to say that.
To their credit, they are saying that, which is a smart thing to do to try and drive up the price. You call anyway. Like, if you're Brad Holmes, how long do you wait so you don't sound too eager? You know, the guy wouldn't make the call in the next, maybe even the next day. Kind of come in casually. Hey, fam. Hey, just interested.
I'm breezy.
Just wanted to I'm relaxed. I'm good.
You got,
but in case, but just in case.
You got plans to watch a big game this weekend?
Hey, you want to meet up for a beer in New Orleans and just talk about, you know, stuff?
Yeah, so those Cavs are playing well, you know?
Oh, listen, while
I have it on the phone.
Yeah.
Just wondered if you thought about Myles Garrett.
Feedback coming in. I'd include Kirby in the Myles Garrett deal. We wouldn't be able to re-sign him anyway. I'd rather pay Branch, and we can lock up that. We can't lock up that much cap space in two safeties. Might put our offer over the top as well. This year's first, next year's third, and Kirby.
Well, the cap space is everything, and what they can do with the payroll, because you're going to have to pay Hutch. Are they going to give Hutchinson his big contract extension this offseason? It's possible. And then that's going to set the market. And you don't pay Garrett more than Hutchinson because Hutch is younger. So that would make sense. But now you're talking about two ridiculously high-priced players, but we know this going into it. There's going to be a cost in all this at some point. But in the meantime, you sit there and you enjoy it. And even though the Lions had all these injuries they had to deal with last year, I got to believe that that's not the norm and that next season you're not going to go and endure that many injuries to that many players on one side of the football.
Kang, you know, you brought up the name Jack Campbell. And I'm thinking, if you offer them Jack Campbell, could you get Myles Garrett and one of their firsts?
Oh, boy. Took it that long to come up with that one, huh?
248-539-9797. Here we go. Barton, Oklahoma. How about a first, a third, and Hooker for Myles? If I were Cleveland, I would be two first, a third, and Hooker. Frank V and Royal Oak. Hooker, a one, and both threes we got from the Glenn departure. Possible? Again, if I'm in Cleveland, I'm interested. The conversation starts with, what do you include beyond two firsts?
Plus, Cleveland's, you know, they're getting ready for their draft, right? So the Browns are drafting, what are they, second overall? For where are they picking here? Sorry, I got this in front of me. They're second overall. So if they wanted to take a quarterback, they can take the quarterback. If they want Shedeur Sanders, if they want Cam Ward, if Jackson Dart is explosive and shoots up the draft charts, they can draft their quarterback. Or they can draft the replacement for Myles Garrett, which would be Abdul Carter, potentially. Although Tennessee is a top pick, Tennessee might go that route.
They might. 248-539-9797. Sean and West Bloomfield, you're next. Hi, Sean.
All right, Doug. Sometimes I feel like we got to dial you back on these things a little bit. So, you know, I don't see historically there were these huge trades where you had to give up all these firsts and players and everything. But in recent years, I feel like people are getting much cheaper deals on these trades. Like, I would use the most recent big-time defensive end, which is Brian Burns, right? Now, I know he's not Myles Garrett, but they gave up a second and a fifth for him. That's it, right? So I don't know that we start your mind starts going to these like two firsts, a third, a starter. Like I just haven't seen that since like 1994. Like when did that doesn't happen anymore?
It happened with Khalil Mack. That was two firsts, correct?
Yes.
Two firsts.
And more. It was two firsts. It was two firsts, a third, and a fifth, wasn't it?
And they also sent a second back to the Bears, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's like a second back. And then like you're talking about like, do we give up like, you know, one of our premier starters?
Hold on, Sean. I'm just saying, if I'm the Cleveland Browns, this is what I'd be asking for. And just about anything less than that, I would do it.
Yeah, but it happens all the time. You got to look at more recent history on these trades. And I'm just saying.
Okay, who is the Myles Garrett comp that it's happened with?
The closest thing that we can look at, in my opinion, is another premier defensive end, which is Brian Burns. Now, Garrett is far better. So it's going to be more than Brian Burns, but it's not going to be like, you know, you're trading like Randy Moss back in 1990.
Let me help you out a little bit. Brian Burns, during the season, a year and a half ago, the rumor was that Carolina was offered two first-round picks, and they said no. Mm-hmm. Right?
Okay.
So let's look at that then. It might be a legitimate comp to say two first-round picks.
But what was the actual trade?
Was a second and a fifth, and I think that was it.
Well, that was after they blew it, because they could have gotten more if they had traded during the season.
Look, if they can get him for less, yes. Yes, 1,000 times yes. But I'm sorry. I don't put Brian Burns and Myles Garrett in the same category.
Well, but his point is that what defensive end is at this point?
Well, the closest, the last one was Khalil Mack. That was two firsts, a third, and a six for Khalil Mack.
What was Von Miller?
The other thing is contracts. Like Myles Garrett, you could be getting for 2 years.
This is defensive player of the year type guy. I mean. And you've got other guys like Micah Parsons and TJ Watt, I think, are due for extensions after this season, along with Aiden Hutchinson. So you got three guys that are going to be setting the market here.
Dude, they have to call. They have to be involved. They have to know what the asking price is. And I suspect that they will. We got a guy who knows what he's doing. We also need to consider he is a guy, though, that very, very, very much values his draft picks. And he might look at his draft picks way more valuable than most of us do, because he seems to feel that way. Now, would he be unwise to not part with two first-round picks for Myles Garrett? I would say it would be very wise to part with two first-round picks for Myles Garrett, because the cost is really, well, I'll look at it as one first-round pick. Can you get a Myles Garrett player at 28? Probably not. And even if you think you were, there's no guarantees. So the cost of assuring that you're getting a Myles Garrett at 28 is one more first-round pick? Yep. I'd do it without question. I can't imagine Cleveland wouldn't ask for more. But as a caller said, a player that is close-ish, fetch less than that, the one that we could think of was Khalil Mack, and that was multiple picks that came back. 248-539-9797. We'll continue talking about Myles Garrett. We mentioned Jack Flaherty earlier this hour. Does that prompt Alex Bregman to sign? How realistic is that? We'll get to that. Later, we'll talk about our Red Wings, who are on just a great West Coast trip, and they could sweep the thing with a win at Seattle tomorrow night. It is Carson Anderson, 97.1.